bottom of the thing. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. I know it's a bit delayed because it's the 5th of January today, but Happy New Year! Happy New Year to everybody at the Jolly Heretic. Hello, so cheers, everybody. Hello, cheers, everybody. Cheers, Lipton. Cheers, Paul. We're going to be having Darren maybe joining us in a minute, but he's having some internet trouble, but he'll let me know. So cheers, everybody. Hurligan Gurgan, K-Piss, Saludo,
Proust, Scrub Your Nan.
Scrub Your Nan. What else?
Yaki Dar,
Hurligan Gurgan. Slandra. And Skoll and Proust and Slanger and Slangervar, and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. We are, of course, an online public house which meets on, I haven't met for a couple of weeks, but meets on Mondays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, in which we discuss all kinds of interesting and based and whatever stuff from a combination of perspectives. And we should have another person joining us in a bit, but he has problems with his Wi-Fi, but he will probably come along. So cheers, everybody, and I hope all's going well, and happy New Year, Nimble Horse. Cheers, Charles Geraghty, 1403. Cheers, Sebastian Stock. Hello, hello, hello. Lekud da. Oh, Yaki da. Oh, you're right, Yaki da. Oh, that's how you spell it. I've never seen it written down. So I've never seen it written down. Yes, Slanger, and hello, Happy New Year, resident poet, and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. Now, I'm going to start with this simple question. You may remember, some of you, the older people among you, people like me and Paul, that on December the 20th, 1989, President Bush invaded Panama and overthrew the dictator of Panama, a guy by the name of Manuel Noriega. For two reasons, apparently. One, drug trafficking, and that was his justification. And the other thing was that he was interfering with the Panama Canal and American trade. So he just went in and overthrew him. Now, some people are saying, I'm wondering, is this just that? Is this just another example of the Panama Canal and we'll forget about it before long? Or is this something more interesting? Is this the breakdown? Thank you, Stephen Knigsitz. Is this the breakdown of the traditional world order? What do you think, Lipton?
Interestingly, I like America's foreign policy history. I'm still young, but in my younger years, I was a pro the neocon movement. I'm no longer a neoconservative. I don't have sympathies for that movement anymore. The right in America is also turning against the neocon movement. So what Donald Trump did is quite interesting. I think he really did it to restore America's failing dignity, or the perception that America's power is declining, because that's a growing perception now that America is no longer flexing its muscular strength. So that could be one reason why he did it. Maduro has been a failure in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez was charismatic. Hugo Chavez was an economic failure, but he was charismatic and he could galvanize the masses to support him. Maduro lacks that level of charismatic charm. The drug cartels, they are also an issue. And many Venezuelans are quite pleased that Maduro is no longer leading the country. How will Donald Trump benefit? How will America benefit? These are issues to ponder, but I don't see this matter as something that's a new paradigm. It's not a new paradigm in contemporary politics. I don't think it's going to stimulate a series of new coups orchestrated by the US. And personally,
he's saying he's thinking of doing the same things in Colombia and possibly even Mexico. That's what he's saying.
But what will Donald Trump achieve by overturning regimes in Colombia and Mexico? Yes, Mexican immigrants who are relocating to America are negatively selected for immigration. They're not the most, contrary to what some people have been saying on Twitter, they're not the most productive group. Colombia had a major crime problem, but it managed over the years to reduce crime to respectable levels. I have not seen any new data to indicate that crime has become amplified in Colombia again. Probably it has, but I wasn't doing that research.
It's a bit difficult when you've exported all your criminals.
Yeah, that's an important point, Paul, because we do remember that recently several newspaper articles were printing stories arguing that Venezuela's crime rate was plummeting because the criminals were being exported to America. They were exporting themselves to America. So if that is in reference to Venezuela, you're definitely correct. But politically,
an alternative way of seeing it is that basically America, this is what Carl Benjamin was saying on his channel earlier today, actually, that America has propped up the world, and we've had to, but we've lived this fiction that, we're independent countries and we're respected and borders are respected and sovereignty is respected and all that. But ultimately, America pays for everything, pays for the defense of European countries, basically is kind of in charge. And as long as you play America's game and don't piss it off, then it will leave you alone, and you can pretend that you're an independent country with an independent economy. You can pretend, but if you annoy it, then you've got a president that's just saying, no, we're not having this nonsense anymore. We're in charge, and we're threatened as well. We're threatened in a sense because it used to be we were completely dominant in the whole world in the 90s. There was no competitor to us. Now there's China and there's Russia. And Venezuela is trading with our enemies rather than with us. And Venezuela is annoying us. And so it's one interpretation is the mask is off. Screw it. If you piss us off, we're going to invade you. And that's it.
Well, I really want Paul to come in, but I have another important observation.
Well, we could let Paul come in. We could do that. Which could.
It would set a dangerous precedent.
I will continue the conversation. Okay, what do you want to say?
It's not difficult for America to outcompete our rivals in developing countries, but to do so, Americans would have to learn to play ball, and perhaps Americans are inept at playing ball. And by playing ball, I am literally referring to corruption. So the Chinese in Jamaica, for example, they have no problem ignoring corruption or entertaining unsavory forces and then being politically correct. So in Jamaica, it is an informal protocol for gangsters and different political agents to benefit from government contracts. So one politician in Jamaica, for example, imposed random political supporters on a project because he wanted future votes. These supporters did not contribute productively to the project, but they were paid. The Chinese, they have no issue ignoring improprieties of that nature. Americans might have an issue. And as long as the Americans refuse to play ball in the developing world, China will outcompete her.
But neoconservatism, you've mentioned that a number of times. The neocons, they had like an ideology, didn't they? Oh, we're going to spread democracy around the world. We're going to get rid of the dictators and make the world more democratic. It was all that stuff, right? But this isn't an ideology. This is just kind of 19th century imperialism. A country has pissed me off, so we're going to invade the country. And he's actually said that he has no plans in the near future of installing a Venezuelan puppet government. Like America is just going to run the place, which even in Panama, George Bush didn't do that. George Bush just had someone new installed. What do you think? What do you think about this, Paul?
I think very early on, just to go right back to the beginning, you referred to Noriega interfering with the canal. I think that's a very major crime and should be punished at every opportunity, canal interference. Otherwise, I think it's weird in a way. It's a form of honesty because the so-called international, legal order is a complete facade. And love him or loathe him, Trump is just doing what raw power does. China does whatever it wants. If you have soft liberal opponents to China, they will ride roughshod over the whole democratic world. And the left are now in an interesting situation. Do they bemoan the loss of Maduro, who struck me as a more effective Keir Starmer? Do you bemoan the sad loss, or are you happy he's gone, or do you say, well, actually, international legal order has been broken? I just think that I think the direct exertion of force in a way to control oil. Let's oppose it to what Germany's done in the last 20, 30 years. In every major foreign policy decision, Germany has got it wrong and caused infinite harm in the world for the best liberal intentions. They've helped keep Putin in power by an absolutely atrocious energy policy, and they've allowed huge swathes of immigration that have caused untold harm in Europe, and on it goes. So you can play by the rules and you can appear to be nice and you can cause absolute havoc like Germany have, or you can do what Trump does, breaks all the rules, but actually, on balance, probably doing a lot of good for the world.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, and by the way, with regard to Germany, it's the 10th anniversary, isn't it, of the Cologne thing? That was 10 years ago. That was New Year 2015. Forget that. I mean, that was the first clear, and well, not the first, but it was one of the most striking manifestations of the unbelievable damage that Germany have done with these policies. But yeah, I think that's, I would agree with Paul here. I think he's. You had people like Ed Davey. I was just listening to Ed Davey earlier, and he said. Well, yeah, he was an awful dictator, but you can't do this. It's not respecting the nation's sovereignty. If Trump had invaded Russia successfully, would the left be saying, "Oh, well, he was an awful dictator, but you shouldn't trample on the sovereignty"? Of course, they wouldn't be saying that. They'd be saying, "Great, this is fantastic. You've overthrown this evil right-wing dictator, which is
One quick
good."
thing, Ed, just to add to your point, there's also the issue of if you want to go back to the Brexit vote, there was a legal democratic vote that the large parts of the left just wanted to ignore. The Supreme Court in the UK has made a definitive judgment on biological sex, and various parties on the left are just ignoring it. So the rule of law either applies all the time or you make it up as you go along, and you can't criticize Trump.
That's a very good point. Yeah, they do. They've a number of left wing organizations, for example, have said that we're not we don't care. So I know, for example, because you know I've been doing this book on the Quakers, that the Quakers have said with regard to this notion of that there should be single sex spaces, you know, that transsexuals can't use female loos, that they're just not going to enforce that. They're not doing it. They just won't abide by the law. And I'm sure that the Quakers would be. I haven't checked their website, but I'm sure that they would be the first to condemn. Oh, this terrible invasion of a sovereign nation. I mean, like, let's look at what this country has done. Since this guy Maduro came to power, the economy of Venezuela has shrunk by 80%. By 80%.
That's Rachel Reeves territory.
I know. I mean, that's yeah. I mean, like that's that would make Rachel. Well, yeah, Rachel. Even Rachel Reeves hasn't managed to shrink the economy by 80%. And the oil production has decreased by 70%. So this is or 65%. This is a country that is should be rich. It should be fantastically wealthy, as I
Yeah, but
understand
except,
it.
Ed, what you're not factoring in is, unbeknownst to us, Ed Miliband was actually a consultant for the Venezuelan Oil Board.
Yeah, the thing is, you say that as a joke, but it could be true, though, couldn't it? I mean,
That's, it wasn't a joke.
Is it not? I wouldn't be at all surprised if that's the case. So this guy lost an election and then just said, "I'm not accepting the result. I'm staying in power." You know, this guy is at a poor, as Lipton said, the other chap, you know, Chavez. At least he had charisma and whatever, but he dropped dead at 57 of, I don't know, heart attack or something.
Cancer.
Cancer.
Did the Maduro actually cancel any elections? Because
Yeah,
Starmer
my
has.
understanding is there was an election and the opposition candidate won the election. And so then he just refused to concede the result.
Yeah,
So,
but at least he had the election. Starmer won't even allow elections.
This is indeed the case. And he's quite deliberately not having elections because he knows he will do badly. That's the thing that we have to live this fiction, these fictions we have to live, like him sitting there in the White House in front of Donald Trump saying, or in England as well, saying, "Oh, well, we have a long history of free speech in this country and we're very proud of it." This nonsense that we have to live.
Well, along those lines, Ed, one of the wonderful things that has happened as a result of all this is, you know, the media have this absolute mind virus where every time America's mentioned, they have to use the phrase special relationship. And when the Prime Minister of the UK didn't even know what the Americans were going to do in the slightest, he admitted himself, "I have to speak to President Trump before I can comment on what's happened. It's not much of a special relationship if you don't know what's going on. And that's been made, but there's been no special relationship for a decade or more, really, in practical terms. But it's just been made ultra clear that Trump may, weirdly, seems to get on with Starmer on a personal level, but he obviously holds him in contempt. He's such a weak leader.
Donald Trump has immense respect for the royal family and the British. Donald Trump, by nature, is a student of Western civilization. He's fond of Western glory. And the Brits, they built a successful empire. America is successful, New Zealand is successful. Well, both of you are aware that I'm fond of British colonialism. And with Pax Britannica now deceased, America has taken that role and is doing what Britain doesn't have the balls to do.
But he also has to look at Britain and see how you lose an empire, like how you screw it up. We're an example of how you gain an empire and then lose the empire.
It wasn't inevitable, though, Ed. We were a small country. We punched far above our weight. And a bit like going through the male menopause like I am, eventually you run out of energy, you get out of condition, and you just give up the ghost.
There does seem to be evidence that civilizations have a kind of a life cycle and you just become decadent and you don't care. John Glubb actually argued that in his book The Fate of Empires, that the welfare state, that's when it's over. That's when it's over. The welfare state was instituted in Rome. That was a marker of the end. And you say it in Greece to a lesser extent, and you see it. The welfare state, it's over.
Yeah, but also, we completely destroyed the German manufacturing base so that we then rebuilt it, or the Americans did, with Marshall Aid. So they basically had all new equipment starting from scratch. And guess what? They became a manufacturing superpower. We had old, tired machinery, rationing, and we were bankrupt.
Paul is so brilliant because this week I was having a serious conversation with myself about the decline of England. I don't know how many of you notice it, but England is really a highly intelligent country with the profile of a developing economy. There are too many low-level service jobs in England. In America, if you work in the service sector, you're a publisher or you're selling financial intelligence. In the UK, people in the service sector are literally brand ambassadors. So the service sector is at a lower level than in America and other rich countries. There are too many B2C, business to consumer businesses, too many recruitment companies, and just simply too many big, what we consider to be glamorous companies that are basically middlemen. They're not producing a physical product and neither are they selling a high quality service.
It's an excellent and interesting point, but unfortunately I'm going to have to insist that we stick to the topic.
So
keep that, like, hold that, bookmark that. Remember, I'm doing an experiment today. Let's stick to the topic. Do you think that Denmark should be on watch? Trump has said, I want Greenland. Should the Prime Minister of Denmark, Mette, whatever her name is, Mette Analysis, should she be saying, yeah, maybe we could loan Greenland to you for 100 years and you can, and we don't have the technology to be able to get at the minerals in Greenland, but maybe you do. They could do a kind of Hong Kong arrangement where they loan Greenland.
That's a smart move. That would be a smart move. That's what Singapore did. Singapore did not sell the country to the America, but the American base was in Singapore for some time. Military companies from America, they were in Singapore, and Singaporeans benefited economically.
My advice would be that Denmark should send Ursula von der Leyen to negotiate, and Denmark will end up losing not only Greenland, but its own sovereignty to the US, and everyone will be happy.
I just think that if he has the opportunity now to be completely badass, to cross the Rubicon, as he could have done after the 2020 election, to cross the Rubicon and just to be Caesar in the decline of... You know, Rome was already declining when Caesar came along. in terms of things like per capita major innovation and even alleles associated with intelligence. Rome was in decline, and then Caesar came along and created the empire, effectively created the empire. Well, it's debatable exactly who did so, but let's, for the sake of argument, say Caesar was the turning point. He took over. He was badass. And then there was a kind of silver age. There was in the decline of civilization, there was a silver age where, if you look at the studies, per capita major innovation goes up. There's a little revival. There's a little revival in the collapse of classical civilization before it then just goes down again, and Great Justinian Plague and just death and hell. So I wonder if this could be this, if he does this, if he just starts in, is saying, look, countries that are crap and don't work properly and don't have free speech and don't support American ideas, you're reliant on us. You are reliant on us, completely reliant on America. So you're going to do as we say, or we're going to take you over.
Well, and there is an element of the whole defence thing, because I'm from Irish heritage. I feel free to absolutely slag off Ireland. They have parasitically... We still, and to the extent that the UK still has a navy, we use it to protect Irish waters. The Irish have freeloaded and not paid anything in real terms towards defence, and yet have all the benefits. And what Trump says is basically America has funded NATO for decades, enough's enough. And I don't think the Europeans have a leg to stand on.
No, they don't, and they you have this fascinating contradiction whereby a lot of the European elite are the American elite is America has this core of right wing, you know, kind of fundamentalist Christian types that we don't in England. That it's much less developed. Maybe it's developing. Maybe it's coming about.
Jesus,
maybe, exactly those kinds of people. But those kinds of people have a sense of the eternal and a sense of we're doing something for the greater good and a sense of something great and beyond themselves and so on, even if they can be very annoying. And you have that in America, but you don't really, because I think a lot of religious, it's just genetic thing in them, at least the English descended ones. We don't have that so much in Europe. And so you have all these people like Ed Davey is the ultimate example of the decadence, right? This private school boy, private school, Cambridge, straight into some desk job, whatever, goes into politics quite young, and there's others as well that have done the same thing. You know, that he's a terrible dictator, but you can't do this. And what they're being confronted with, it goes against the rules. There are these rules of the international order and how you do things, and you respect sovereignty and the European Court of Human Rights and.
Sorry to interrupt, but that's the other thing. The EU is structurally was designed to be inherently anti-democratic. The senior parts of the EU are not directly elected. It is a complete cabal. And then they turn around and say, they talk about the international legal order and they have no accountability.
No,
back to Denmark. Back to Denmark and the Prime Minister.
It's entirely hypocritical. Lipton.
Yeah. I think that the Danish Prime Minister should enter into a technology transfer agreement with Donald Trump. So Donald Trump is a deal maker, and if he acquires Denmark, the Danes and the people of Greenland, they should benefit from technology transfer and training. Although Denmark is an innovative country, but many of the businesses in Denmark, they're usually sold to foreign companies. But I think that there's an argument for a technology transfer between Denmark and America.
They do good TV, the Danes. It's really miserable Nordic noir.
Yeah, there was that detective series, that Swedish-Danish detective series about that autistic bird that was a detective. It's called Bridge.
Yeah, that's good.
you've seen Bridge, Lipton?
No, I have not seen it.
It's quite good. And she's Swedish, but she's working with these Danes, and there's lots of jokes which are impossible to get unless you're Danish or Swedish about how, you know, I don't know what the equivalent would be in terms of English language. Maybe it's like speaking in Jamaican patois as against normal English or something.
It would be like an English detective and a Scottish detective, and the English detective would spend every episode trying to get the Scottish detective to open his wallet, and he would always fail.
But it would be in this debate, we should not obscure the ethics of intervention. When should we intervene in a foreign country? Had the British not been able to intervene in Africa, human sacrifice would still be a problem. Slavery would still be a problem. Western intervention has civilized the non-Western world in many ways. So when should we have interventions? Interestingly, during the decolonization era, many Africans wanted Europeans to return to Africa, especially in the Congo. People wrote letters telling Europeans to return to Africa.
My understanding is that years and years ago, my son had a teacher at nursery school, a male teacher at a nursery school, which is very rare. And he was Anglo-Indian. And he told me about how when he was a kid, in the 70s, the older people that were still alive were real that he knew were really nostalgic about Britain and
exactly.
It was some of us still in the UK are nostalgic for Britain.
Well, yeah. I hold my hands up. I just thought in 2005, I was finishing my PhD. My fiance got a job here in her native country. And whereas, you know, I was just getting interviews and I just thought, screw it. Let's just go. Yeah, years of unemployment may wait, but there's got to be something that's better than this.
If I could get rid of the ankle bracelet, I'd go.
Yeah, but that unfortunately you've been associating too much with hope, not hate, and it's rubbed off on you.
I'm a bit upset that I am no longer eligible to represent a third party in Wales. I was talking about it. I was going to enter Welsh politics. Seriously, I spoke to the founder of the party, one of the officers. They encouraged me to run. She said that you can run. Then after further research, they discovered that I am not eligible to run. Obviously, I've not been in the UK for a long time. I wasn't born here, so I can't run. But some people have been saying to me that Welsh politicians are not that bright and they should just be working on local government.
Certainly the ones that are sheep are not known for their brightness.
To Newport, Paul.
That's racist, that, because they're actually some highly intelligent sheep.
Paul, I was going to go to Newport. I was going to run for a seat in Newport.
How's your Welsh?
My Welsh? No, I don't. I only speak English. I don't care about native Welsh.
That would go down well with the Welsh electorate.
But can you speak?
They don't care. They don't speak it.
No, they do. No, that's interesting. As far as I can work out, they don't speak it, and no one speaks it.
Exactly.
About 20% of the population, as I understand it, actually speak it.
But 20%, not nothing.
It's not nothing, but they're concentrated into North Wales.
Nobody cares about the Welsh language.
I would love to see you doing your stump speech in Wales saying that.
Yes. No,
twice in my parents' small suburb of southwest London, I have heard people speaking in Welsh. I found it extraordinary. The first time it happened, I kind of thought it might be Welsh. This was in a park with my kids, and it was. And the second time, it was a completely different kind of Welsh. I was genuinely like, what is that? It didn't sound like Welsh.
Do you know, this will fascinate you. There's one of the reasons modern Welsh has become more standardised is because of TV. Because North Welsh was quite different from Southern Welsh. They were like different dialects. But they had a Welsh language soap opera that was funded by the government, and it basically flattened out the differences.
That is very interesting. I seem to recall when I would come in from school in the 90s, that would be on TV in London. That I can't remember what it was called, the Bally or Charich or something. But it was it,
that's,
that is
that's
that
a
is,
Scouser ordering a drink.
Yes, that is. But I think I'm right. I remember that was in the 90s. That was. Once El Dorado collapsed and that didn't go very well, and they thought, what can we do? El Dorado has failed. Let's set up a really unrealistic soap opera where everyone speaks in Welsh all the time, where even in the shops, people speak in Welsh. It's just all the time, even in the pubs.
No,
it's a nonsense. It's a fiction. It's crazy. It's not, life's not like that.
Wales has low PISA scores, really low scores. They should focus on very low PISA scores.
They don't eat pizza. They have Welsh rarebit.
Welsh rarebit they have is cheese on toast.
No, not pizza, not pizza. PISA, the exam.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, they have really low scores.
I think it's a bit rough judging a whole nation on its pizza making ability.
Well, if you were to do that, then Italy would be just the top nation of the world, wouldn't it? We've moved off topic again, Lipton. I need to keep on the topic. So I just think that it is possible that he's saying. I like this idea of trying to keep on the topic as well. It's like herding cats. It's quite interesting.
It's mostly Lipton's fault, though, Ed. Would you agree? I've been quite good this week.
Lipton is very high in openness, and so he's just all these different. Maybe he's got a bit sort of attention deficit disorder as well. So there's just all these different ideas just coming, and then one thing leads to another, and one thing leads to another, and eventually you've moved from your idea of talking about Venezuela and its invasion to Bonnie Blue and how she's become a Christian. Not Bonnie Blue, Lily Phillips, that's her name, sorry, Lily Phillips, yeah. In fact, as a quick aside, let's just talk about that. So I thought that's why I was hoping Darren would be here. Maybe I'll wait, because Darren's now saying, first of all, his Wi-Fi went down, and then he's got a power cut. So
read Zach Rushton. Zach Rushton, what he said.
There was two, sorry, what? Two the questions we
Zach
had.
Zach Rushton. A man, one of your bloggers, he said blacks are lecturing us about education. He's referring to me, but they are dumb.
I don't know. What he's saying about blacks. But someone said called Jonathan Shadow 199. Thank you. Said Ed, another YouTuber called you an owl. Okay, I could be called worse birds.
That's because you're a hoot, Ed.
Yes, he says, thank you. Yes, indeed. That's because I'm a hoot and not a twit, a woo. And then we have somebody else called. I'll do that in a minute. I'll do that in the break. Let's stick on the topic. But I think. Look, I was excited earlier. You've all got me less excited. I was excited that this was a kind of a civilizational turning point, where we drop the nonsense of all the niceties about human, about our own, that we finally just say what politics is about, purely and simply, is power and might. And unfortunately, there's a strong degree to which basically just might is right. And what you say morality is basically just backed up ultimately by power. And I
have, but in practical terms, how else could it work? That this myth that you could have an international order that worked on goodwill, it's always going to be the biggest bully in the playground will, you know, come out.
Right, exactly. But what that bully, if you want to call it a bully, has done is concealed. It has made all these efforts to conceal what it's doing. So it'll say, oh well, look, it's democracy and it's human rights and it's all this kind of stuff. And there's a refreshing honesty.
Yeah, it's the oil.
Just say, no, it's, look, I'm in charge. Do what I say or I'll kill you.
And we want the oil.
And we want the, you've got oil, right? And we would like it. We would like you to, at the very least, sell us this oil, if not give it to us. But, you know, you're and it's interesting, the idea that they feel, one of the things that Carl said, the idea that America at this point, or maybe it's just Trump, feels a bit threatened, feels a bit that there's other competitors, there's China, right? And we've been decadent enough to allow this country to build up and become rich and whatever, and thus a threat to American hegemony, which is a really silly thing to do. You've got to think about how decadent we were in the 90s.
Well, I'm not sure it will happen, Ed, but it would be wonderful if Central and South America cooperated. They have such amazing natural resources, great climate, brilliant food. I just think they could be such an amazing part of the world, but it's got a really bad track record for political organisation.
Don't say anything that's racist on here.
I'm not being racist. That region was colonized by Spanish. Many of the people who live in that region are phenotypically white. But another issue that people don't like to discuss is colonialism. Many countries, they tanked because of independence. Latin America experienced lower growth rates during the post-independence era. Inequality during the colonial era in Latin America was not high. It wasn't. Colonialism
I've always
was
fancied
good.
running off to Argentina.
Well, Argentina is a really good example because Argentina used to be really, really rich.
It's a
About
beautiful, beautiful buildings, architecture, and it's a fascinating climate because it's such a long country, isn't it? It goes through all these different climatic regions.
Yeah, well, it's not as long as Chile. Chile's really long.
Yeah, well, Argentina's not short. It's not
No,
short arse
I'm not
like
saying
UK.
Argentina's like 6'3", and Chile's like 6'6" or something. Chile's like the same height as Jake the Snake Roberts, or him off of Pointless. You know, it's really tall. It's a really tall, thin kind of a country. But no, and it's overwhelmingly white as well. It is overwhelmingly white. So I've always found it strange that they can't get their shit together. The only
No,
place that
no. Latin American countries, they were colonized by Spain, and the Spanish were not effective colonizers. Even today, Spain is a relative laggard in Europe. The economy is improving quite a bit, but I wouldn't. Well, some people, I guess, like Spain because of the environment or the climate, but I don't care much for Spain.
I Paul did A level Spain,
See,
so. Yeah. So he must, you know, gusta
muy bien.
the Espanol, gusta the Espanol severely. I don't mind it. It's all right. I used to go there a lot as a teenager on holiday with my parents, but and I could once I could, they're
I
very
think Lipton. I
conservative.
think
So
Lipton
first of all, we
needs to
always
go,
holiday in Dorset or
but
Devon.
Lipton needs to get out to Spain more because there is a certain type of lady in Spain. Post
Okay,
50,
buttocks.
they have buttocks about, well, 2 meters wide to use Spanish measurements. There's a rule in Spain once you get beyond
A lot of Southern
40,
European women.
there's a derriere explosion. That would suit you, Lipton, all about the
Well, also,
base.
they just have larger sexual secondary sexual characteristics anyway, as I understand it. A lot of Southern European women have big asses. This is like really big. This is not just there, but like, you know, Romania, Bulgaria, anywhere around the Southern Europe, they do. It's an interesting. I wonder if there's a sort of a vaginal line with relation to women's bottoms. There probably is.
Because, Ed, because you know how I really do admire your crass Darwinism, could it be about heat distribution and evaporation? So, if you've got a very large backside, the heat dissipates more quickly in the really hot temperatures of southern Spain.
Yes, the theory is two things. One, if you are in a cold environment, then you want to put fat on your stomach because it acts as a blanket. But if you are in a warmer environment, then you're right. It is you, if fat is accrued, you don't want to be hot. You want to be cold. You want to be cooled down. You don't want this fat acting as a blanket. You've got to put the fat on somewhere. So it makes sense to put it on the legs, and on the buttocks to a
And
greater
Lipton's
extent.
always cold, and he has a blanket. It all makes sense. Darwin was a
Exactly,
genius.
exactly. Darwin certainly was a genius. Yes, this is what I've been trying to explain to you for a long time. And secondly, then there's going to be the sexual selection differences. So it's a more unstable ecology compared to Northern Europe. It's more random, and so therefore you have to pass on your genes more quickly, essentially. And how do you do that? You advertise your genetic quality. And how do you do that? You grow large secondary sexual characteristics. They advertise your genetic quality. So therefore, you end up with larger bottoms and larger breasts and things like that. And this, of course, is its most extreme, as Lipton will tell you, with the Hottentot, with the yes, Lipton.
Now, Paul, Ed knows what he's talking about. Smart men, they prefer the breast.
They do well. Certainly, slow life history strategy men, and there is a weak relationship between slow life history strategy
Like
and.
Ed, here's his joke. Well, it's not that funny, but I was in my inbox speaking to this old retired IQ researcher, and he was attacking Mankind Quarterly for publishing that piece. He said Mankind Quarterly is now publishing perverted pieces of this nature.
And that was a piece on what?
smart men like the breast over the bottom. That's the George Francis piece.
Oh right, yeah. I don't think I've seen that paper. I published a paper in a different journal which showed that there was a relationship between male personality and whether they like breast or bottom. I'm sure I read a paper on that.
You've got what?
I've got one that's been accepted in Mankind Quarterly on race differences in oral sex preference.
Okay, when will a new edition of Mankind Quarterly be published?
I think it should be quite soon. I think it's due in the latest edition.
This is like being trapped at a bus stop with two people with the tism.
The paper was called "I Did Not Have." It's called "Did Bill Clinton Have Sex with That Woman?" Monica.
Okay. I have a problem with Mankind Quarterly. Let me tell you my issue with Mankind Quarterly. Mankind Quarterly is not publishing enough articles by Elmot Nyborg and Edward Miller. You should go back to the old people, force them to publish.
It's
can you buy it in Venezuela?
We're talking about Mankind Quarterly.
That's what the topic was.
Happy birthday, if you're watching. Happy birthday, Helmut Nyborg. It's Helmut's 89th.
Good, that's good. I was reading his articles over the weekend. His piece on sex differences in the book that was dedicated to Arthur Jensen.
But he's 89 today. And if you meet
Ed, have you officially given up on keeping on topic?
Boy. We're moving towards the halfway point, and I think we can agree that we have kept on the topic of Venezuela.
Are you going to invite him to the show next week?
If he's not Venezuelan, no.
Elmont.
Oh, I don't. He's 89 years old. I don't think I could do. But
invite him. That would be funny. Let him talk about eugenics.
I have had him on the show before, just a one-on-one interview years ago. But he's I like the idea of that. I don't know. I'll ask him who can tell. Hopefully, I was going to have Darren on this week and hopefully next week. But there's something obviously gone. But how can there be a power cut? That bloke Steve Laws, Lipton.
Maybe the philosopher.
No, he's a re-migration activist.
No, I don't know him then.
Oh, well, you should. But anyway, I was interviewing him earlier, like recorded, like not live, and then he had a power cut.
Today I was speaking to two elderly Christians about immigration. They're white, but they were silent, and I was saying, I'm not in favor of immigrants, and they were like, we're not going to say anything, we're just silent. And eventually the man was talking about immigrants who basically just sit down the entire day, go into some places in London, and they're just idlers. They don't work.
Darren's in the chat, and he's saying he's stuck here in the dark. So I assume
he means figuratively.
Yeah. I don't know if you've been there, but Northern Ireland is lovely.
Figuratively, he can't work out what's going on.
Oh, I see. Oh, yes, I suppose so. Yeah. He's confused by that. The thing is, Darren, I was going to ask you, had you come on, and it won't be news next week. There won't be the news hook. Was if we could talk about the fact that Lily Phillips has apparently been rebaptized, which anyway is a blasphemy and is impossible. You can't be rebaptized. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and according to the Trinity, then you're baptized forever. But apparently, she's been rebaptized. She's made no change to her lifestyle because I checked her Twitter.
I just showed on a rare occasion a bit of, I had four disgusting jokes I could have just said that I'll tell you off camera, but I refuse. I'm going to start the new year on a higher moral ground.
I can't think of a pun in relation to higher moral ground. Although it is, I just thought of a pun. Look, anyway, we're about halfway through.
Let's put it this way: the idea of being baptized did give me certain.
Yeah, obviously baptized with the water of the baptized in the face,
like a plasterer's radial.
Yeah, like a certain kind of water. So she was baptized with a certain kind of holy water. I was thinking of that as well, and also the idea of her taking her first communion. It's getting quite blasphemous now. And
Little Milky read my mind. Well done.
Jesus didn't turn. He didn't turn milk into.
Oh, stop it, Ed. Right, come on, back on track.
Back on track. All right, okay. We're about halfway through, so to those of you that are new, hello, and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. We are an online public house, meets on Mondays, 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, which discuss interesting stuff in the news and based science and then basically just end up generating into banter and jokes. But I've tried really hard today to keep it on topic, and we've previously discussed Donald Trump, and we're next going to go on to Hope Not Hate. If you are new, could you do me a favor? Could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube, and could you subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based stuff that I can't put on YouTube, where I put in-person interviews, where I put vlogs and blogs and other stuff like that, and where, if you like what I do, you could support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. And I'm also promoting my new Telegram for my most based supporters, and so do sign up to that. Science is boring, says Alex T5i3i. No, you're wrong.
Just the way Ed discusses it.
No, I don't like that. I don't like it when people say, I look Jonathan Shadow. I don't like it when people say lol, okay, because it's lying, right? You didn't laugh out loud. You at best smirked. And yet you say this thing laugh out loud. And the worst thing is when they say an acronym for roll on the floor laughing or something, or laughing your ass off, which is insane. Although, if you check the Twitter page of Bonnie Blue, another one of these online whores, then she's quite into that kind of thing. So where was I? Yes. And next to me, we have Dr. Paul Taylor, who's calling himself Diversity is Strength, which is hopefully one day we can just stop saying that. As we know, it's not true. A very small level of diversity may be better than none, but according to Raymond Cattell. But that's about it. Okay, so Ed, we want the cat, says Tree Goblin 69. I'm afraid the cat's died. Do you mean the new cats, the Sulu and Bart? They're not into show business. But Margaret was very much into show business. Anyway, Dr. Paul Taylor, and he has the channel Readers of the Lost Art, where he looks at all kinds of intellectual arty sort of topics. So go and have a look.
Just to plug that, Ed, assuming he can make it, but I don't trust the Northern Irish internet. Darren and Richard are going to be doing War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells, on Saturday with me on the live stream. Good. That's the caliber of the people I get.
maybe you can use that opportunity to persuade Richard to behave himself and be a cooperative boy. I assume you will. Subscribe over there. And
did you say what it was called?
I did. The Readers of the Lost Art. I did.
Oh, that was just a way to get you to say it again.
I did say what it was called. Can I do a book on your show, Paul? Would you like me to do a book on your show?
What would you do?
Well, my favourite book is 253 by Jeff Ryman. I've read that about six times. That's my favourite ever book, ever, ever.
When was that published?
I think 1995 or 6. Maybe it was 96. It was set in January 95.
The first rule of my channel is nothing is... I think 1929 is my cutoff point.
So you're asking why it has to be like a novel.
Actually, I lie, about mid-1930s, because I think I want to do Thomas Mann in future. But basically, yeah, there were no good novels written after 1935. I don't make the rules. That's just how it is.
Well, you clearly have made the rules.
No. Honestly, it is a scientific fact. There are no good novels after 1935. That is just a fact. Except perhaps Catch 22.
I want to do a book on your show.
I want to do a book on Paul's show, but he's not letting me do the one book I want to do.
Man, it's a non-fiction book, Paul. It's non-fiction.
Well, I only do fiction.
He does fiction.
It has to be before 1935.
Right, pre-1935 made up shit. I'll think about the novels that I like that are pre-1935.
And I'm not allowed to have pictures in them, Ed.
No, Alice in Wonderland has pictures. Does that not count? That's pretty good.
Well, that's borderline, but none of your pop-up books.
I don't think they had any pop-up books before the 30s. They were that common. Anyway, look,
Victorians did. They were very inventive with paper.
Look, I will think of a novel. What about the Bible? All right, I'm up for that. I could do Genesis. I could do I could do that. It's a significant amount of Genesis. I could do, yeah, all right, I'll think about it. All right, Genesis I can do, as literature. Genesis as literature I can do. Right, because of course we discussed, didn't we, when we first met, that book by Robert Alter.
Very good.
Old Testament, as what was it called? The Hebrew Bible as literature or something. Right, okay, and then next to Paul, we've gone off topic a bit again. Next to Paul is Lipton Matthews. So please subscribe to his channel. That's Lipton Matthews. Where he has all kinds of interesting people on.
And the only famous professor this week is from China.
Who's that then?
Xi Wang.
Oh, he's been on my show. Yeah.
Xi Wang was on my show.
I had dinner with him. The idea that the humans have emerged in China, that kind of
Lipton,
idea.
Have you had one Hung Lo on your channel?
one Anglo-Saxon?
One Hung Lo. Oh, you're very famous ethnic specialist in Korea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's well known. You should get him on. He researches all kinds of interesting stuff.
And there's the Russian eugenicist Ivan Oktobolikov. He's good.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's when we came on my show, he balls things up. It's no good. Right now, and so that's it. So please subscribe over there. We have a resident poet here at the Jolly Heretic, Mr. Quim, and he has written the following poem in honor of today's live stream, as follows: Trump is a man of persuasion. This may take the form of invasion. Maduro's new jailer improves Venezuela without any need for evasion. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Mr. Quinn. And if you like Mr. Quinn's poetry, which you should, then you can buy his book of Jolly Heretic poetry on the old Amazon. It's available there. And there's a foreword by me. So go over and purchase that. Maybe you should do an updated version, Mr. Quinn, because that was quite a few years ago, wasn't it, that you wrote whatever it was called, something of dissident doggerel, the book of poetry. Anyway, so cheers, everybody. Cheers. Now, we've had a number of questions so far, so I'm going to attend to those. So the first question is from Stephen Knizek 2651. Thank you, sir. And he says, Santa taught me that you cannot be jolly without saying ho, ho, ho. I have yet to hear you call out the hose. So disappointed. Well, I think you sent that about 20 minutes ago, Flo, and I have called out the hoes, haven't I? I've called out Bonnie Blue and Lily Phillips. Because I had this idea, and this is genuinely the reason, because I had this idea of talking about this on today's show, of her re-baptism, I did look at her Twitter. And then from there, I looked at the Twitter of
Four Bonnie hours Blue. Later, you staggered off out the...
Bonnie Blue was even worse. Bonnie Blue, it's really, really filthy stuff, like orgies and whatever. The Lily Phillips girl is tame by comparison. She just puts full frontal nudity, you know, the occasional picture of her buttocks with the imprint of a sort of a wicker bench.
How many people are watching?
1,233 at the moment.
Come on, that's low.
Is it low? Oh, I'm sorry about that, Lipton, but we've been away for a few weeks, and you're here, which is going to put them off, and so that's the amount at the moment. The next question comes from Jonathan Shadow. Thank you, sir. And he says, Ed, another YouTuber called you an owl. Yeah, we've had that one. I don't know which YouTuber this is that called me an owl. Which YouTuber called me an owl? Tell me who, and I will nest in their church eaves. The next question comes from Stefan Vermark, who sounds Dutch or something. No, it's South African. He's Afrikaans. And he says, double brandy and Coke. Thank you very much, sir. I will look forward to that. And then we have a question from Hev Nervals, which is 100 Norwegian kroner. And he says, smoke de herb, man, much respect. I assume that's for Lipton.
I'm Anglo-Saxon, Ed. I'm Anglo-Saxon. I don't know anything about marijuana.
Have you? Good point. No, good point.
I didn't even know Herb referred to marijuana, Lipton. That's how much I don't know about it.
I'm Anglo-Saxon.
Yeah, but you knew what you meant.
It's the herb. It's part of the old Rastafarianism, the old Rastafarian religion.
I'm British.
Does it qualify as the Eucharist in Rastafarianism? It's a sacrament, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. But I don't care for Rastas. Rastas are usually for mentally unstable people. Those are the people who find Rastafarianism attractive.
Lipton, you don't really have the hair for being Rastafarian.
No. I'm Anglo-Saxon.
Rastabaldian. It doesn't really go, does it?
No. I'm Anglo-Saxon.
I don't know why they went on and on about the King of Ethiopia as well, Haile Selassie.
Well, you know what? No, Rastas are so uninformed. Like Marcus, they like Marcus Garvey quite a bit, but he disliked Rastas because Marcus Garvey was a bourgeois Anglo-Saxon person too. He liked the idea of the British Empire, and the Rastas they smoked. Garvey did not like weed, and he didn't like the Rastas.
Lipton, do you think I could carry off cornrows?
Yes, I think so.
Apparently, someone called Daily Agenda, who is a YouTuber, reckons I'm an alcoholic. Yeah,
what's his point?
Yeah, what's his point? What?
How old do you think they are? That is such a certain age group would think that was an insult.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It's being an alcoholic, it's called growing up. Like,
it's having been born in the UK before 1980.
Yeah, basically, pretty much. Well, that is kind of true in Finland, actually. There is I noticed this. There is a tendency that they either, once they're about sort of 50, they either don't drink much at all, or they just drink ridiculously, you know, absurd amounts. And you do get in this country this weird thing whereby in England, it's in my experience, they don't serve drunks. If a person's obviously pissed, then they go, no, I'm not serving you, get out, you know, go home. And in this country, in so many pubs, at least not in the like the better pubs, but in the sort of what we call rakala, the sort of the rough local pubs, they just serve them until they can't walk. I've seen cases of them physically putting people in a taxi. Serve them until they are paralytic.
Is Helsinki twinned with Glasgow?
Well, except the thing is, Helsinki's relatively civilized. All of the sort of posh, ambitious sort of Finns gravitate towards Helsinki. So it doesn't really. Once you get into this, I can't talk much about it. I've never lived there.
Ed.
But yeah, well.
No, I think that all countries in the West should reform their laws to allow people who are legally living in the country but not citizens to run in elections.
Yeah. Tommy is saying Ed has been there. I would like to emphasize, Tommy, do you remember that time that we cycled to our friend's house? And you were so drunk that you kept falling off your bike, and you fell off your bike a number of times, and I think about four times. And on one occasion, two of your beer cans, as a consequence of hitting the ground with such force, burst, and high pressure beer started coming out of them. So, you know, check your there. Yeah. That's aside. Where were we? We were on my apparent alcoholism. No, I want to move on to hope, not hate. So sometimes, chaps, something absolutely delicious happens. Something one couldn't make it up. And it turns out hope, not hate, were right. It's not just Muslims that groom and sexually abuse English underage girls. It's also very senior members of hope, not hate. And this is, they were right. And this is what has emerged. Two things have happened. One, on January the 2nd, I think it was, on the podcast of Channel 4 News, which is called something like Making Change or some stupid title, Krishnan Guru Murphy, him what used to host Children's News Round in the late 80s after John Craven.
I'm worried where this is going now.
Gave him interviewed Nick Lowles, who is the head of Hope Not Hate, CEO of Hope Not Hate.
On Children's News Round?
No. Krishnan Guru Murphy used to work for Children's News Round.
But you can see why you'd want to be on Children's News Round.
No, he's not the one that's the nonce.
But you could have interviewed the other guy. Because
you can see why. You could. So you, And what? And so what he was basically saying, Nick Lawles, was it's terrible these days. 20 years ago, if you were far right, then you would lose your job and your family would shun you and you'd lose your friends. And now you can make serious money out of being far right. This is what, and why can you do that? He said, well, one, they've been forced off various platforms, so they've made their own lucrative platforms. Two, American billionaires have given them a platform, by which he means obviously Elon Musk. And so that's the situation. And I couldn't believe it that he could say that. When you think, why did they lose their jobs? Because you pressured their employers to sack them, and people were scared of you and scared of being called racist. And so that's why they lost their jobs. Why did they lose their, why did their family shun them? Same kind of thing. And their friends, same kind of thing. Fear. Let me finish it. Fear and whatever, which you engendered. And then you force these people off mainstream platforms. You force them to create their own platforms and to come up with ways of making money to fund their dissident activity, which you cannot interfere with. And so you've done this, Nicky boy. You've done that. You've created this, and you've also created a situation of polarization whereby people are now increasingly only friends with fellow right-wing people, or people are only having, you know, relationships with fellow right-wing people. You've done that, and so you've created this entire. You've basically forced them to create a parallel society, and they have, and now they're making money out of it and whatever, and a living out of it, and they're immune to you. But you created the situation in the first place. I couldn't believe that he could lament it when he's basically a victim of his own success. Lipton.
No, I was just about to say that Sir Cyril Burt was never a fraud.
Keep on the topic, Lipton, but yes, carry on.
Yeah, Sir Cyril Burt was never a fraud, Paul. His studies were accurate. Many scientific studies show that they were accurate. He was never a fraud. And this professor met his so-called missing assistant. He was never a fraud.
Great, but we're talking about Hope Not Hate Lipton at the moment.
Yeah, Hope Not Hate is a fraudulent organization.
Yeah, that's a very, very, very tenuous link. But
Hope Not Hate. Like the first time I was interviewed by Ed, he mentioned Hope Not Hate, and I was just irritated. I've never liked that group any at all. They just pissed me off.
You had like even like then when he put this out, this Nick Lawles chap, then you had Graham Linehan condemning them because I mean, yeah, they took it so far that they would try and get people sacked or whatever or repressed for saying, you know, issue, you know, man is a man, woman is a woman, whatever. That's how far they took it. And you could argue that it's the pressure that they put on people that pushed things so far that people decided, A, this is ridiculous. We're being told to lie, literally lie, and take part in someone's narcissistic fantasy, or be prosecuted, and B, this then shifts enough that you see that other people will back you up, and then you're emboldened, and you create your own parallel society. That's what he's done. But these are the morality police. These are like the Saudi Arabian equivalent of the whatever they're called, the officers for the promotion of vice and the condemnation of promotion of virtue and the prevention of vice or whatever. These kinds of people, you know, the school snitches, if you like, the bullies. Yes, Lipton.
Yeah, I really dislike that group. I think it's intellectually inept and unserious, and you should do some research before smearing people. But I was just about to say that many of my friends in the U.S., they think I should live in America. I just need to find somebody willing to sponsor me at the cost of $100,000. They keep sending me a lot of stuff, but I'm not in America and I want to go there.
Why are these people writing the letter L in my comments? Because I'm just going to block them.
I don't know.
Get rid of them all.
It's absolutely. Yeah, do another one. What is this L thing? What does it mean?
The Lipton groupies.
Are they Lipton groupies? Is that why they're writing L? But it's weird because obviously they will be blocked permanently and it will never happen again. So another one.
Yeah, they keep writing L. Like, shut
you write L.
67. It's this new trend with kids saying 67.
Yeah, I understand that. But if anyone writes L, I'm just going to block you. So it's so simple.
L for last.
I don't know what's going on in the comments. It is quite vexing, but there's nothing I can do about it because my what do you call it? My moderator my Spanish barmaid moderator is not here. If she was here, she'd block them. So I'm just blocking another one called 2005 guy something or other, and then another one. No, not him.
What's the 67 thing?
I don't remember. But school children like to say it for whatever reason, but I don't remember.
Carlotta, where are you? Yeah, Carlotta, where are you? I don't know what this L thing is, but why are you doing... I'm just going to block you. I'm now focusing on doing this. I'm blocking anyone that writes the letter L. So I'll move over. I don't care about the 67 thing. I don't really know what it means. My son says this. My son's 13, and he says this. But if you write L, you're going to be blocked. It's like, I don't know, it's annoying, so stop doing it. Ban user, delete their comments. You know, that's
didn't they block masochists? Didn't they block masochists?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Another one. Like, why are they doing it for? Like, it just means that you're going to be banned from the channel forever. Anyway, yes. But anyway, it turns out, though, that these people are, of course, as you know, the most moral people in the universe. They are super moral. There is no one more moral than them. But yet it turns out we have this man by the name of Liron Woodcock Velleman, formerly Liron Velleman, a 30-year-old or so father of one child, which is slightly worrying. And he has been, the day after this Hope Not Hate interview thing came out, he pleaded guilty in court to basically sexually interfering with he pleaded guilty to sexual communication with a 13-year-old girl, to having that 13-year-old girl watch adult material. He said to her things like, "Are you a virgin?" and "Show me your bra." And it turns out that he was a Labour councillor in Barnet between 2022 and 2025, and he suddenly resigned for no apparent reason, and this is of course the reason, and this was a very senior person at Hope Not Hate. They have a list of writers and contributors. It's a relatively small number of people, and he was on that list, so that's it. So he's a nonce, and this is this very, very senior person in this moralizing organization that thinks they are the most moral people on earth, and he's on a minor level, basically a nonce, and that's that. And this is just something that, yes, Lipton.
Well, this is not really on topic. I was just about to ask you. If I return to Jamaica and become the Prime Minister, are you going to serve in my cabinet?
Would I have the right to serve in a Jamaican?
It doesn't matter. You can be the Minister of Education. What's Paul going to do?
Paul, what would you do in the Jamaican cabinet of Lipton Matthews?
I'd be probably the Health Secretary.
I think that's appropriate. It would be a bit like that Belgian Health Secretary, famously, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be like Guinness would be on prescription.
Apparently, it is very healthy. It is good for you, Guinness. There's a lot of nutritious qualities.
I think it's just slightly less shite for you than most alcohol. It's not quite the same as being good for you.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, red wine apparently has been said to be good for you.
No, all alcohol is bad for you.
No.
Did somebody give you 200 Norwegian?
Yeah. I'm just banning all the people that write L at the moment. This is going to take up a lot of time. So I don't know if you could sort of do it. I don't understand why, but I have no moderator here. But then I'm sure she's. I don't know how many moderators I actually have. I didn't used to need them. They did them at first. At first, I remember when I set the channel up in 2019, people would say things like, "Oh, this channel really needs moderators," and then I didn't know what moderators were. and then I appointed people moderators, and then it was okay. Mod me, Ed. No, I'm going to wait till a few more L's and then ban them. But they seem to be calming down now. What's your favourite beer, Ed? Probably London Pride, I would think. It would be London Pride. What's your favourite beer, Lipson?
I am not really into beer, but I like Smirnoff Ice.
Oh, do you? I once got terribly hungover off that in about 2001. And have avoided it since. But anyway, I want to keep on the topic.
Can I put a plug in for Nigerian Guinness?
Okay.
Well, if you're being asked, and then you ask the non-beer drinker what their favourite beer is, then you ignore. Well,
I thought he might
heavy beer
me.
Drinker.
He might humour me by having a favourite beer. But he doesn't. L stands for LGBT ally. Oh, really? So I've got like leftists that are spamming my chat. Okay. Have paid a lot of money for the smears, Ed. Leave them alone. Okay, thank you very much. There's quite a lot of people in the chat for some reason. L stands for.
Only people are watching us know.
They keep saying
that would be the spammers, Ed.
I know. There's a key. It's 1,346. There's a lot of these. A lot of these.
There's at least 1,300 spammers.
All of them. Every single person that's watching is a spammer. But it's interfering with the ability of the normal chat. So how can there be so many of them? And that is fascinating. It's like fascinating. Oh my god! Like it's like playing.
And the funny thing is, the standard of the chat suddenly gone up.
Yeah. Suddenly, it's high level debating by using the word L, even the letter L, even though we don't really know what it means. Maybe it's Lily. Maybe it's supporters of Lily. But it's just they keep coming. It's like if your dog
well, it would be Lily's then.
If you it's like if your dog has fleas and you think you've got rid of them, and then there's just more and more and more and more and more. It's quite fun doing it though. So what was that game where you smash things on the head?
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah, whack-a-mole. It's kind of like that, but I just don't understand how there can be so many. I can only assume that it's hope, not hate, that have come out. But anyway, so it's quite delicious that these utter moralists should be that there is now that association. We're talking a small number of people and a very senior person within that organization. And he's attempting to persuade essentially a 13-year-old girl to engage in some form of sexual activity.
Relevant, Ed, the Trump derangement syndrome is quite interesting because it's premised on the idea that Trump is wrong because he should play by the rules, engage in dialogue, and so on and so on. But these spammers just show that dialogue really isn't what they're after. They're not after dialogue, so what's the point of trying to have a dialogue with them is my point. So what Trump does is say, to hell with you, the rule of the playground.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's ultimately what the rules are, aren't they? The rule of the playground, the rule of the jungle is what is lurking under absolutely everything. So they're saying, post L if you love this guy. So it is apparently left-wing people. This has only happened once on the Jolly Heretic. Apparently I was groiped. This is many years ago. And I think Nick Fuentes mentioned me on his show or something. And then all of these people came over and started spamming the chat.
Well, a Nimble Horse is a moderator, isn't he? Or sure.
I thought so, yeah.
There's a spanner next to their name, but they're not seeming to be getting rid of people.
No, I'm doing it myself. But if this is hope not hate, then it's wonderful. If it's left wing people, look, let's be clear, okay? You moralize and then you have someone who behaves like that in a position of significant influence in your organization. This person has attempted to have people lose their jobs. This person has done all kinds of damage. And he's revealed to be this, and there's nothing they can really say because it's all about reputation. It's all about how you look in front of the community, and you've now got this hanging over them. And I wonder if him basically admitting he's lost in a way, and saying, look, we can't go on like this. Suddenly these people have money. Suddenly these people have set up an ecosystem. It's doing well. And then you have this association. So I just wonder if it would sort of damage them. What do you think, Lipton?
Repeat what you just said about hope not hate.
I'm trying to do two things at once here, okay? I'm trying to delete the letter L. Just now, it's just out of a, just a, I don't really care anymore. It's just become addictive now. It's just literally a tick.
No, let me tell you what happened.
I picked the perfect technique for you, Ed.
No, I was really listening to your comment, Ed, because somebody I know from in America sent me a WhatsApp. He works at a research organization and he wants me to get a job somewhere. So I was reading some article and writing some letter. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about America that I said to you before. They really want me in America. They just need to pay the 100,000 grand to get me there.
Okay, that's absolutely brilliant. Good. What do you want to do in America?
To do maybe work at one of those right-wing research places.
Okay, what kind of places?
I can't name them.
All right, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I don't know how to make someone a mod immediately. I don't know how to do that. But we've had. I'm going to go to questions. We had a question.
Give them a thin tie.
Okay. Is there a thing that you can do to make them mod? It says Norwegian crooner Jan Light, rise in the morning sun, herb of wisdom, make the heat heartbeat one, from Zion Hills to the roots of I ganja. Lift the veil where truth passed by. Babylon chatter, fade to dust. In ital breath, I place me trust. Thank you very much, Mr. H. Devals. That's from Norway. That's extremely kind of you.
Tree Goblin wants to be modded. Click on him and mod him.
I don't know. It doesn't give me the facility to do that. It just says, if I click on someone, it says delete comment, put user in timeout, ban user and delete their comments. There's no option to make them a mod. I think I have to do that sort of separately. I don't know how to make people mods, but it seems to have calmed down now. But anyway, I just think it's. I just wonder if this group they've got significant enemies. I mean, when I put out that tweet earlier about what I hope not hate what they've done with the paedophile and whatever, Jerave Linehan shared it, George Galloway shared it, and they've attacked even him. I mean, they attack basically their own. George Galloway is a man of the left. Of the far left, some might say, and they attack even their own, and I just wonder at what point have they gone too far? When everyone feels that they could be attacked, that there's almost nothing to lose, and that's when you get a reaction, and it's as though, and we've got that reaction with these people. These people, I mean, for example, they're even above the law. He put out a tweet during the Southport riots, Nick Lowell, saying that there had been an acid attack on a Muslim woman in Middlesbrough. It was completely false. And he later admitted it was false. And he put out information saying there's going to be riots in various places when he knew there wasn't going to be, so that that his activists could turn up and claim victory. I mean, it's extraordinary what they've done. Surely their uppance has come when they can now be smeared forever. All he's turning around and saying is, oh, well, Tommy Robinson's a drug dealer. Tommy Robinson's a drug dealer. He may well be, but he's not a nonce. So, you know, this is the thing. I don't know how else they can last. What do you think, Paul?
Yeah, if these things tend to go to an extreme and then they self-correct, if there's no opposition, it's what Lipton and I constantly say. If there are no consequences, more and more and more of this happens until eventually they get drunk on their own power and slip up. And yeah. Nature abhors a vacuum and it gets filled in eventually.
Right, and it's taken so long though. I find it amazing. Paul as well. All three of us are people that will speak out. All three of us are people that will say our opinion. All three of us are people that are, I suppose, do we thrive on taking risks?
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah. And I find it so hard to get my head round. I try, as you know, I'm low in the old cognitive empathy. I try so hard to get my head around the mindset of being frightened of these people and of self-censoring and of even censoring your own thoughts. What you dare think in case there are social consequences. But these people really care about these things.
Yeah, I don't care.
No, but so many people, the idea that the cowardly person that would give in to this group, to this mob, and would sack people, and this has been going on going on for so long, even in the case of Steve Laws, who I spoke to earlier, that he lost various jobs because of Hope Not Hate, you know, basically creating a dossier on him and sending it to him, his employer, and basically saying, look, do you want this person on your books? Do you want this person? They don't do it anymore. They do everything online, but they used to actually physically go to the place of work, of people they didn't like and campaign outside. Yes, Lipton.
And because I am black and not famous, nobody knows me. I can meet important people and network and nobody knows me because I am black and not famous. That's why you shouldn't be famous.
That's probably true. Once you are a bit famous, there's not a lot you can do about it. There's no kind of going back. It really is like that game, that Kaplunk, whatever. I don't understand why tonight of all nights, like what it is that has been set off tonight, and what L means as well.
It's the Hope Not Hate thing.
So he's Liron. This guy, yeah, the guy's name is Liron, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. Okay. So they're obviously really, really, really quite. If it is the Hope Not Hate thing, they're really, really quite kicked in the balls by this. I mean, they realise the full significance of this. You don't as Ricky Gervais. Have you seen Ricky Gervais's latest stand-up thing? And he says that what are the two worst things? Racism and paedophilia.
Yes. So
the worst thing you can be is a racist paedophile. You know, he said. So if you're a paedophile and you said, oh, well, come on, at least have sex with the black kids as well. but you know, imagine that being that's the thing. Perhaps that's the thing that is of comfort to this poor 13-year-old girl, that at least he's not racist. Yes, he's a paedophile, but at least he believes in the woke dogmas. At least he's not a racist. Imagine how bad that would be that you were nonced by a Hope Not Hate, by an activist, and he was a racist. At least this guy is a nice, woke, Hope Not Hate, left-wing paedophile. At least you have that crumb of comfort. I don't think it makes much difference, to be honest, to kids that are nonced, that the person is an anti-racist. I don't think they care. I think they just don't want to be nonced. So I'm saying that they've seriously crossed a line on this, and the names of the accounts that are on here that are writing hope not nonce, says Tommy, exactly, or just hope to nonce, hope to nonce. That should be the title, right? Lipton, I think we've stuck with the topic and we've done the two topics. So now yes. I think I've achieved something this evening, to have stuck with the topic. A grope not hate, that's another good one, David Britton. Any other ones? Hope not nonce, says Key Buckley. Yes, that's also a very good one. I think this is not going to go away. Prolific bots. What are bots? What are these bots they're talking about? How does it work?
I don't know what's going on with these people.
I mean, what have they done? Is there someone in China or something continuously setting up YouTube accounts just so they can come on my live stream and write L? I don't know, Finola Merkel. I don't know how to create a mod.
Yeah, before next weekend, just mod five people, and they can just go at it.
That is, but this has never ever happened, so it's not really been necessary.
I think that's why I talked about next week, not the last 500 weeks, Ed. I did specify. I prefer to deal with future action rather than past regret. I understand you're slightly different and prefer to obsess over everything that's been and might have been, and you fail to control.
There is some truth in that. Yeah. I will now, you know, think heavily about this. But now they're writing the N word in the chat.
I everything for controversial publications, and many people read this publication because I have been cited in some books. But despite my love for controversy, I have never been placed in a negative position. I have always been able to get what I want.
Have you? Well, well done, Lipson. Well done. That's because you have black. You have black.
Is that your dance? Yes. Is that your dance, Lipton?
Yeah, the Trump dance. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the dance of knowing that you can always get.
You must be the only Jamaican Lipton in history with no sense of natural rhythm. This is disgraceful.
Hey, guess what? Despite writing several articles saying that reparations is garbage, I got a scholarship to study at a famous university that was influenced by reparations, and I don't believe in it, but I took it.
I got
from Glasgow.
utterly Machiavellian.
Yes, that's I took it.
You took it. No, I agree. I have a guy. I won't name him, but I have a subscriber who was another one. There's a new L thing that I will get rid of now. I can't bother. But there's another chap. He said the same thing. Very clever guy, doing a PhD in literature in the United States, but trying to kind of move it around to a sort of evolutionary psychology kind of bent. And he was saying to me the same thing. He got this. He's half black. And he got this black scholarship, and he was like, fine, whatever. If these people want to be stupid enough to give me money for being half black, fine. But I kind of don't resent that, because I'm thinking that he's a very clever guy. So someone was going to give him a scholarship, I think. Someone was going to fund his research. But it was just a question of, well, which funding? And this was a particularly easy form of funding for him. It's not, you
except
know, you
that it's got worse
that,
than that.
Not
but,
only
but,
that, again, was a re- even though a recent- I
Paul's trying to talk,
There was a recent article in Compact Magazine that made quite an impact. He's a retiring Harvard professor, and he was giving a load of stories about, for example, he came across the most gifted students he'd probably ever taught at Harvard, who was never going to get a scholarship because they were white. And he had a whole, it's a very well-written article with lots of, he's worked as a professor at Harvard for decades, I think 40 odd years.
Yeah, I know him.
And he was just saying, so this idea that you just said someone will get a scholarship eventually somewhere, well, depending on their demographic, they will.
Yeah. Paul, the professor you're referring to, Paul, he came on my show.
Who is he referring to?
James is a Harvard professor who came on my show.
James what?
James
Watt. James Watt. Didn't he invent something, James Watt?
Yes.
No, not James Watt. He's H-A-N-K-I-N-S. I think that's his last name.
What did James Watt invent?
James Watt invented the steam engine.
Steam engine. The steam engine.
Go.
And someone's saying the light bulb. I don't know if that's true, but I'm sure the steam engine is James Watt. Scottish.
Yeah. I would say that the professor who wrote the article for Compact Magazine was on my show. Everybody comes on my show, even though I interview people like Jerry Taylor, because I'm black.
I'll never forget that time that I got into an argument in a pub in Swindon because I was telling a Jamaican in the pub in Swindon about my friend who's Jamaican, who talks about the concept of black privilege. And the barmaid declared that she found this phrase very offensive. And I said, what? I'm talking to a Jamaican about a fellow Jamaican. And I'm telling him about, and the Jamaican guy, he said, he said, like, I don't mind. I don't care. I'm not offended. No, I'm offended. So I said, I'm offended on your behalf. That this person.
Well, that's colonial attitude, isn't it?
It is. Person. I was sitting there talking to two black people, the Jamaican, and there was a guy that was a bouncer or something from Ghana. And they both found this really interesting. Tell me more. So I said, my friend Lipton Matthews, and he explained the idea and why there is some truth in it, particularly in relation to your channel and who you can get on. And it was just making things worse and worse and worse. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe this could be happening to me, you know. But anyway, enough of that. So I would like to. I'll just have to go through the old chat. I think we've got some new ones. Ron Smith sends in £1. Thank you, sir. Jonathan Shadow, who I think I might have banned, says, Ed, one, free Bart the cat. Two, everyone here have tism. I don't think everyone. I think that's the problem with these psychological terms is they become overused such that completely ordinary people will say things like, oh, I was being a bit OCD earlier. Like, no, you weren't. You don't
But honestly, Ed, I think you and Lipton have a touch of the tism, and about approximately 93.5% of the people in the comments do.
The people in the comments would appreciate that specificity. That specificity and that honesty. They may well do. They may well have a touch of the tism, but it's not full tism. I mean, full tism is the kind of people that I sometimes meet at right-wing conferences that can barely communicate with others. That's full on. The kind of people. There was once a guy I met at a conference, and I advised him to, practice talking to people. Basically, I said, like, go to an old people's home where you live. They're lonely. They have nothing to do, right? And just practice conversation. Practice conversation on these people, you will benefit from that. Practice conversation on elderly people. I hope he did if you're watching. Okay, I would like to thank you all for tuning in, and I will appoint moderators for the future. I will do that. I will do that in the coming week. I will see you all soon, and goodbye.
Goodbye.